Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Doviak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Doviak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and I've got some great topics today. Just like winter is coming, rate cuts are coming, and we'll talk more about that in the first section. The fiduciary rule reached another snag in court, so it is further delayed. Football is also just around the corner, just kind of like winter, but about 3 months earlier. And I'm going to talk today about how football is like finance, because I like nothing better than a metaphor. And then finally, in the Ask Peggy section, I'm going to talk about upcoming tax deadlines, just to make sure you haven't forgotten. So let's start with the Bulls and Bears market and economic update. This is for the week ending August 26th, 2024. It was a good week in the market all the way around. The Dow was up about 1.25%, while the S&P 500 was up about 1.5%. The NASDAQ was up 1.4%, and gold was up 0.1%. Oil, West Texas Intermediate crude front month price was down 2.15%. Current price of a barrel is $74.96. And I noticed that the last time I got gas. The 10-year Treasury yield was down 8.10%, and it is now at 3.804%. The dollar was down about 1.75%, while Bitcoin was the big winner for the week, up 7.38%. So I have done a lot of talking about interest rates and about interest rate movements and what is the Fed going to do. And the Fed had their big meeting last weekend in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. If you're a nerd like I am, you know they meet annually in Jackson Hole in August, which is a lovely time to get out of the mugginess of the East Coast and head for Wyoming. And Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve, at that meeting said he is nearly certain that they will cut rates in the September meeting. That would be September 18th. So anticipate a rate cut. Now, what people don't know is how much of a rate cut will it be? This also isn't going to be the last rate cut. So if you are a longtime listener of the show and you've heard me talk about bond funds and interest rate movements, you know, a little bit of the movement on the initial cut may be baked in at this point, because the market loves nothing more than to anticipate. And if you notice, the 10-year Treasury yield was actually down 8%. It's still at 3.8, though. And I think we're probably going to have a series of rate cuts. You heard it here first. I do not have anything specifically to tell me that is true. But a series of rate cuts. So I do not think that this is going to be 0.25% and done. I think it is going to be 0.25%. I think if that stock market decline that was so weird about 3 weeks ago had continued, I think we might have seen a 0.5-point cut. I think we're going to see a 0.25-point cut instead. Because everything right now is wall-to-wall politics, I haven't heard as many theories on this as I normally will listen to or just catch on the business channel. So I don't know if the market's anticipating a 0.5%. If it is, it'll be a little bit disappointed. So if the Fed cuts rates and the market goes down, you will know that the market wanted the Fed to do more than they did. I kind of think the market will be sensible. I don't know why I say that. Often the market is not. One of the things that let the Fed go ahead and say, yes, we're going to cut rates, was there was a slight uptick in unemployment. Now, I want to talk about this because this was also in the political news, and I want to make sure that you understand that unemployment data is always revised. Always, always, always. It gets issued, it gets revised, and then sometimes it even gets revised the quarter after that. So when you hear that they revise the payroll numbers so that the Fed would cut rates, that is simply not true. Because the Fed, or not the Fed, but the unemployment data, as most economic data does, revises as more things settle in. Now, I could make the argument, why are they releasing it if they know they're going to revise it? And I think it's because the market is very desperate for solid economic news. So they release and they revise. They often revise again. It has happened every single quarter in the past, or every single quarter I can remember, and it will continue to happen every single quarter in the future. Will a rate cut be an election mover? You know, I wouldn't really think so. Certainly, it will make it a little cheaper to borrow money. It will make it a little easier to get a house. It'll make it a little easier to buy a car. It'll make it a little easier to get a loan. But it isn't like we're suddenly entering this fantastic mortgage environment. It's just, it's time to lower rates. It might have been time before, but I know why the Fed made the decisions they did. You know, I'm in the market too. I always like to see things happen that make the market move the right way. But I'm also very respectful of how hard this is to do and how if they get it wrong, there's actually very serious implications. I do not think the Fed is going to cut five or six times. I just don't. Now, I may revise my opinion when I see a little bit more. But right now, I kind of don't think they'll do it. I think they might do 4 quarter-point cuts. I don't know if they'll do them in successive quarters or not. But I think they're going to want to leave a little powder dry just in case there's some weird form of catastrophe. Because the Fed can only impact money supply and interest rates. And I don't want to get into the whole concept of money supply. It's the buying and selling of treasuries, okay? When they buy treasuries, they are putting money into the market. When they sell treasuries, they are pulling money out of the market. And the amount of money that's rolling around in the society, in the market, the more money there is, the easier it is to get things done. But the big thing everybody knows about is the interest rate cuts. But that's really all they can do. So they don't want to overshoot and get everything so easy again that if we needed to do something, we needed to cut because there was a crisis, they wouldn't have any room to move. That's where we've been. I am happier with the bond rate and the interest rate environment today than I've been since 2008. I think we're in a healthy spot. I think things will be fine. But as always, listen to the show and I will keep you in the loop.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I talked last week about how the courts were blocking pieces of the new fiduciary rule. Well, the second court in Texas has also issued a ruling that is going to delay the Department of Labor's September 23rd implementation date. What that means is that the fiduciary responsibilities of financial advisors, and especially impacting people who sell annuities, has been removed again, which means that there is, until this is resolved in court, no longer a fiduciary safety protection that we can count on happening in about a month. They were very concerned that it would block their ability to do certain kinds of sales that had been prohibited because they had been determined to be unfair. What really irritates me about this is, let me see if I can find, the language for it. It was saying that it provides consumers with a needed reprieve from these devastating consequences as the court considers the substantial legal issues we have raised regarding this ill-advised rule, and that came out by a number of insurance groups that came together. One of the problems with this is they raised many issues that they filed independently, and the court has agreed to hear each of them on the merits. Now, the problem with doing it that way, or the advantage to them for doing it that way, is until the whole thing gets resolved, the rule can't take effect. And, you know, I think it's like 11 different cases that they brought individually. That's going to take a long time to work itself through the court system, which buys the organization's time and the hope that, in fact, the fiduciary rule will go away forever and ever. You know I am not a fan of that happening. You know that I believe that you have the person who handles your life savings should have the responsibility for doing the best that they can. I was horrified when I had been in business a couple of years. If you don't know the backstory, I'm a career changer. I was an English teacher and a corporate trainer, and then my mom had a terrible experience with a stockbroker, and I got really mad and I changed careers. So I really did start from a position of not knowing very much. And I had been in business for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years before I realized that not everyone in financial services, not everyone who calls themselves a financial advisor or a financial, you know, any form of financial word, didn't have to act in your best interest. But they do not. And that's what this rule is attempting to fix. It was attempting to fix the fact that when you have a qualified retirement plan, like a 401k, everything about that plan has to be done in your best interest. And at least in a way that you are not being specifically damaged or harmed by the way the plan's implemented. And this bill, or not this bill, but this regulation from the Department of Labor said that once that money rolls out of the 401k, that protection continues. And that's what especially the insurance companies are just having what we would call in Oklahoma a wall-eyed fit about. And so now they've gone to a Texas court that has said, yes, this is absolutely unfair. You shouldn't have to act in someone's best interest. You know, imagine the harm that comes from that. And yes, I guess I'm feeling a little sarcastic this morning. I'm taping a little earlier than I usually do. Perhaps I need more coffee. But nevertheless, there are no financial protections provided by regulation come September. So again, the way you get around this is you ask the tough questions. You get the details of things. You find out what the fees are associated with what you're looking to buy. You look at any surrender period associated with what you're going to buy. And then just for fun, you ask that agent how much money they're getting from any source, including the insurance company, for selling you that product. Because the way they handle it is they build the agent's fee into the surrender period. So that lets the agent technically be honest when they say, oh no, you're not paying me anything. No, it's coming from the company. The company is penalizing you. And the argument is, well, you know, you're many years from retirement. You don't need it right now. But I've been in this business long enough to know that people have emergencies. And not being able to access funds is a problem. And sometimes these products are sold to people who are old enough, they might need access to the money. So you need to just be very, very careful. And you need to make sure that you understand all of the rules, because right now there isn't any regulation to protect you.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And today is Monday, and the first University of Oklahoma football game is Friday. I've made the long drought. So rate cuts are coming, winter is coming, and football is coming. And I'm an enormous college football fan. I will watch almost any game on a Saturday over anything else. I am, of course, a University of Oklahoma fan primarily because I live in Norman, Oklahoma, home of the Sooners, but I also taught for Oklahoma State. And so I have a soft spot for the Oklahoma State Cowboys, unless they're playing the Sooners. And now that we've moved to the SEC, it'll be interesting to see how that works out. I do hope Bedlam isn't over forever. But did you know that a football game and your finances have a lot in common? They all require a good offense, a good defense, and a great special team. So your financial offense begins by being proactive with your money, and your plan starts by creating a budget. When you know how much things cost, you know how much you need to save for retirement. You know how much life insurance you need to purchase, because the life insurance purchase is a function of meeting expenses in case something happens to you. You know how much emergency fund to save, because if you're trying to save 3 months of your bills, you need to know what those bills are. I know it's boring, and I know I talk about cash flow a lot on this show, but I think it's because people don't talk about it is why I feel compelled that I have to. Yes, choosing a great mutual fund or fabulous stock is a good thing, absolutely. But you will, at the end of the day, achieve more financial success by knowing how much money you need to save for your retirement rather than earning one extra percentage point on choosing mutual fund A over B. So you want to do both, but you got to have a budget and you got to have a cash flow. You've got to know what you spend. The next thing you need to do is fund your company retirement plan, because it's a fabulous offensive play, because most retirement plans offer a company match. So you put in money, and then within certain parameters, they match that money up to certain levels. So maybe if you put in 3%, they put in 3%. Even if you're just getting started, getting that free money is incredibly important. And I've heard some financial gurus who say, oh, the company plan is too expensive, it's better to save here or there. But the last time I checked, expenses were not 100%. So participating in your company plan, at least to the level of the match, always makes sense to me, unless you've got some weird individual financial situation that is slightly outside of where I would expect things to run. You know, I don't give advice on the show. I'm just saying if your company offers a match, you really need to figure out why you wouldn't want to do that. Now, I'm going to offer you a little caution because, yes, you want to participate up to the level of the match, but you should also try to figure out how much more money than that you need to retire. Think about it. You're spending 100% of your money, or now you're putting back 3%, so you're spending 97% of your money right now, probably. And if the company matches 3%, now you've got 6%, and I understand compound interest, but sometimes that 3% match is not enough money to fund your retirement successfully. So work with a certified financial planner practitioner or someone else who is willing to be your fiduciary and has the proper training to figure out how much you need to save, and then you really should participate in your company plan up to that level. Then finally, the last offensive move I'm going to talk about today is reviewing your investment portfolio holdings. You should have a risk tolerance. We're not going to spend a long time defining that today, but you need to make sure that your portfolio matches your risk tolerance. And then I want you to take it another step, and I want you to make sure that the assumptions that you made when you did that retirement projection are being manifest in the portfolio holdings that you have. Now, I understand sometimes you have a little bit more, sometimes you have a little bit less, sometimes you're more aggressive, sometimes you're less aggressive due to certain circumstances. But overall, your company, I mean, your risk tolerance level needs to match the assumptions you made in your retirement projections, or it won't work. Now, offense gets down the field, but defense usually wins the game. So the first great defensive move you need to make is to create an emergency fund. Remember, that goes back to how much money do you spend every month? I really think most people should have 3 to 6 months. I was a little bit more generous before COVID, and then I saw entire industries just get wiped out, and I don't want that to happen to you. So you need an emergency fund. Save it 2 weeks at a time. Finally, the second one is to purchase life insurance, because if something happens to you, what does your family or the people that you love need to be okay? And then finally, and nobody likes to do this one, you need to create an estate plan, and you need to work with an attorney, and you need to get all of the documents together, probably a power of attorney for health care and finance, probably a will, probably an advanced directive, maybe a trust, but you need those documents in place so that everybody gets what they need and they don't have to deal with probate when something happens. And then finally, special teams make a big difference. You probably need a CPA or at least somebody to help you with taxes. You need a certified financial planner practitioner who has the training to help you with the financial planning and a mandatory fiduciary standard. And you'll probably need an estate attorney to help you with that estate plan. If you do all of these things, you are going to win your financial football game and you're going to make your life so much easier.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And so today we've determined that rate cuts are coming and football is coming. And I'm sorry to remind you that tax day is also coming. So this is the time when that extension that you filed back in April that seemed like years away is finally kind of catching up with you. So if you have a business and you file a business tax return, your deadline is September 15th. Now, I'm giving you a couple of weeks of warning just so you can go ahead and get things done. If you file a personal return and you filed an extension, then your taxes are due October 15th. Now, let me give you some free advice that you did not ask for. If you are trying especially to do your personal taxes, business taxes have a tendency usually to be a little bit better organized. But personal taxes have all these things that come from all these companies that you've got to report. And it's incredibly important that you not miss something because they've also reported it to the IRS. And because of that, the IRS is going to know that you received the income and they're going to look for it on your tax return. It is the easiest, cheapest audit for the IRS to run to make sure that everything they received on you as income, you have reported as income. So this becomes extra important if you've had some major changes this last year. It becomes more important because with interest rates higher, you're more likely to have had interest reported from your bank to the IRS if you earned enough. You know, some of the smaller de minimis numbers haven't been reported as often in recent years because we haven't made any interest. But now that rates are higher, you may have something from a bank. So you want to take the time and you want to look at it. You want to make sure you've got everything. The other time that can be really stressful is if someone has passed away and you've received some kind of taxable benefits. For instance, unused vacation time. They don't always come on the same form as the other income that you received. So you may actually get like a 1099 miscellaneous in addition to a W-2 if you started getting a pension. So if your taxes are pretty much the same year over year, still pull out last year's return. Last year's return will have all of that itemized for you. Then match up your forms between last year's return and this year. You're much less likely to make a mistake. And if you'll do it now, if you can't find something, you've still got time to contact the company and get them to send it to you again. So it's going to be a lot easier for you to take care of it now before you're panicking on October 14th and you can't find a form and you don't know what to do and everything's closed because you're doing your taxes at 11 o'clock at night. So take a little time, at least get organized now. It'd be nice to do the return now, but if you want to wait, at least get organized today, and that's going to make it clean and simple when you do file the return because your time is very, very short. So I am excited to tell you that my second cozy mystery, the first one, You Can't Cheat Death, is being released by the Wild Rose Press on September 16th. If you like to read cozy mysteries, it's available on Amazon. It's available on pre-order. It'll be available to be ordered from your favorite independent bookstore. It'll be available to order from Barnes & Noble. So if you're looking for something like that to read, it's your opportunity. But the great news is they've also now accepted my second book, which has a working title of You Can't Bury Death, and it's the same characters from the first book, but now they're dealing with a really cool mound site in southeast Oklahoma called Spyro, and part of the book is set there. So it's a neat book, it's a fun book, it's a Halloween book. And so if you're interested in that sort of thing, when that gets further down the road, I'll let you know. It won't release until next year because it takes almost a year to get a book out. So first book's out in September. Second book will be out next year. I'm just thrilled beyond belief to be doing that. Remember, if you want to submit a question to the show or learn more about me, go to askpeggy.com. That's askpeggy.com. You can read my blog, get information about my books, and submit a question to the show because I would absolutely love to hear from you.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at peggydoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.